Some people, because of their experiences, say people don't change. Now, granted, change is very difficult and it's somewhat rare in the world, but it is what Christianity is all about. Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's the metamorphosis word, by the renewing of your mind. And so it's a change from the inside out. Are you a different person today than you were before you became a Christian? And see, as a Christian, we're now to reflect God's presence in our lives, and we are to produce the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And this is one of the ways that we're expected to see change as we get rid of the deeds of the flesh and start producing the fruit of the Spirit. These are 9 characteristics of what we are to be growing in and exhibiting as we keep in step with the Spirit, as the NIV says. Some people refer to it as the litmus test of the Christian faith. Well, so far in this series, all right, we've talked about love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Well, the next one is goodness. I've noticed in our culture we sing a lot more about being bad than we do about being good. I found an article called 100 Best Songs with Bad in the title. All right, so we have songs like Bad, Michael Jackson, All Bad, Justin Bieber, Bad Bad Leroy Brown, Jim Croce, Bad to the Bone, George Thorogood, Bad Girl, Madonna, I Did Something Bad, Taylor Swift, Super Bad, James Brown. I mean, why don't we have songs about being super good? Well, good. All right, it's obviously a very common word in the English language, and it's used in a variety of different ways. You know, that was a good movie. Now, that tastes good. That's good news. I feel good. You look good. We had a good time. She's a good dog. Right? He's a good boy. God is good. What do we mean when we say that something or someone is good? See, if someone asked you, are you a good person? How would you respond to that? And what if they followed it up with, why would you say you're a good person? I mean, would your answer simply be, well, I ain't never killed nobody? Do you remember when you were a kid and your parents, they had to leave you home alone for a while, and so they told you to be good while they were gone, right? Now, when they returned and they asked if you were good, and you said yes, of course, what did you mean? Did you mean that you wrote a card to someone who was sick, cleaned the kitchen for your mom, helped your brother with his homework, and read a few chapters in the Bible? No. You simply meant that you didn't burn down the house, steal money from your dad's dresser, or give your little brother a swirly. You may have to look that one up. See, as a kid, our picture of goodness is often of just not doing anything really bad. And some adults, of course, still have that picture. Back in December 2017, USA Today had an article called, Are You a Good Person? Morality experts say this is how to find out. And they started by talking about a shift in New Year's resolutions. Okay, so looking at some different polls and surveys, instead of the number one resolution being, I want to lose weight, like in previous years, well, for some reason, the number one resolution became, I want to be a better person. Well, they asked, well, what does it actually mean to be good? And they said that, well, you know, we normally see eye to eye on the big stuff, but then they talked about how it can be different and how it can be influenced by the, you know, things like the way we were raised, where we live, when we live, and stuff like that. Well, here's something they concluded. Before you can become good or determine whether you already are, moral philosophers say you need to self-reflect. Look, I'm all for some honest self-reflection. But here's the thing, looking at the article, as you self-reflect, you get to decide what is good or not good. You set your own standard of goodness. So is goodness set by me? I get to decide what's good and bad, or is it according to something else? You see, goodness, like the rest of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, is learned by looking at God. Jesus said in Luke 18, 19, "No one is good but God alone." Psalm 25, 8 says, "The Lord is good and upright, therefore he instructs sinners in the way." And Psalm 119, 68, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." God is the one who determines what good is. You see, it's based on his character. Therefore, we are to love what God loves and hate what God hates. We are to mimic God in doing what is good. Ephesians 5, 1, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." God's the standard. He's the standard of what is good, and we can't change it simply because we don't like it or we want something, you know, we want it to be something else. There is a lot that the world says is good, a lot today. It doesn't line up with God's character and what he has said in his word. You know, in the end of the book of Romans, Paul said, "For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil." Some people mix those up. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." Sadly, we got some of that going on in America today. All right, well, here's an illustration I've heard before. All right, when it comes to how many inches are in a foot, I don't know, you, for some reason, you may desire or wish that it was 10 or 15 or something else, but the standard has been set, okay? It's been set to 12 inches, and you can claim that you reject it or agree with it. But the standard has been set. You know, in a similar way, God is the standard for goodness. And he reveals it. He reveals that in his word. And you can claim that you reject it or agree with it, but the standard is still the standard. So let's talk about this word. Well, in the Greek, okay, it comes from the root agathos. That's where we get the girl's name. Agatha comes from it. It means good. And while goodness, okay, it's similar to kindness, which we looked at last week, it can have a harsher edge, a harsher side to it. See, this word, it carries with it the idea of doing what is good, whether it's sweet or not. So R.C. Trench in his Synonyms of the New Testament, okay, he said that we could use this word to describe what Jesus did when driving out the money changers or when rebuking the Pharisees in Matthew 23. It was harsh, but he was doing what was good. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 4, Paul said that the government is there in its, you know, in its general purpose as a, quote, "servant of God to you for good." And yet he said one of its jobs is to punish evildoers. It's not always sweet and kind, but it is good. You see, disciplining your children is not sweet and kind, but it is good. In Isaiah 1:17, God, he told his people, "Cease to do evil, learn to do good." And here are some examples. "Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." See, these are all good, even though the first two, justice and reproving, that can be pretty harsh at times. See, I've heard goodness explained as simply doing the things that are in line with the moral standards of God. And so for Christians, we are to exhibit not just kindness, but goodness as well. And as Christians, well, we should know what good is. The scriptures don't have to, you know, have to spell it out for us every time. For example, in the book of Titus, Paul used this word and another word for good all throughout this letter here to Titus. He seems to have used them synonymously. He said, 1:8, "Loving what is good, 1:16, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. 2:3, teaching what is good. 2:7, example of good deeds. 2:14, zealous for good deeds. 3:1, ready for every good deed. 3:8, be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good. 3:14, to engage in good deeds. And there are many other verses in the Bible just like that, that simply tell us to do good. As Christians, the ones with God's laws written on our hearts, the ones who are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, we know what good is. We ought to know. And we find that Galatians 5, okay, it's not the only passage that talks about this in a fruit context. And again, fruit being the natural product that comes from something being what it is. Matthew 7:17, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we also find very important passages like Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, it could be translated masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. In other words, he built the road for us to take. Now, it's up to us now to walk down that road just as Jesus did. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. A very different direction from the one we were walking in before we became a Christian. Our lives are now to be characterized by good works. That was a part of God's eternal plan. See, the changed lifestyle of those who are saved. Now, what we do is to be a reflection of us being God's masterpiece. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfect, but that's what we're striving for. You see, that's our overall walk with God. Okay, well, looking at the New Testament, are there any specific areas in which we are to do good? Well, absolutely. Honest work is referred to as good. Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. We're told to do good when it comes to following the laws of the land. Now, going back to that passage in Romans 13, you know, after telling us to be subject to governing authorities, it says, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. If you want to have no fear of authority, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And of course, that's speaking in general terms. Now, looking at the New Testament, the only time that we are to disobey the laws of the land is when they conflict with the laws of God, Acts 5:29. Well, we also see it mentioned in contrast to revenge. See, we all want to take revenge, but 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Romans 12:21, after talking about leaving vengeance to God, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it's not just what we do, it's also what we say. Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And 2 Thessalonians 2. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. So not just our works, but also our words. So could what I say be characterized as good? Now, it's also important when it comes to our trying to influence others, those outside of the Lord's body. So after talking about us being salt and light, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven," using that other word for good. See, the only concept that so many people have of God, the church, and Christianity comes from what? It comes from observing us. And so, do the things that I say and do properly represent God and His church? Or does God want to pin that note on me that reads, "The views and attitudes expressed by this person do not necessarily represent those of heaven nor its management"? You know, as it's been said, there are 5 Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. But most people never read the first 4. So what are they reading on the pages of your life and my life? How are they going to take us seriously if we don't practice what we preach? They're going to have to see it working in our lives. Okay, well, is there anything that can help with that in us producing goodness and us being and doing and saying what is good? Well, besides prayer and Bible study, as you would expect, one way is to keep in mind the principle found in 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Again, that's the other word for good, but it still fits. You see, the company that we keep, it will often rub off on us. Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." So you see, if we're hanging out with people doing foolish or sinful things, we're often going to get hurt in one way or another. As it's been said, fools are like grenades. Just being in their general area is dangerous, whether you are participating or not. Heard about a certain farmer. And he just is plagued by all these crows causing him grief. You know, they were scratching up and eating his newly planted seed. And so one day, well, he, you know, snuck up to the edge of his field with a shotgun, and he shot several times. And he, well, sure enough, he killed a number of crows on the ground and in the air as they were trying to fly away. And when he gathered up the dead crows, he also found his children's pet parrot. It wasn't until then that he was aware that the parrot had been hanging out with the crows. So when he brought the dead parrot back to the house, the children asked, "Daddy, what happened to Polly? You know, how did she die?" And he answered, "Polly died because she was keeping bad company." So you want to be a person of goodness. If I want to be that person, I need to hang out with God and His people. Because among other things, the company we keep will often rub off on us. So let me just make a quick comment here to our young folks, you know, those are young people in school. What crowd are you hanging out with? I mean, if you're hanging out with the bullies or the druggies, or maybe it's even the popular crowd, you're going to have to be the one with the influence and not the one being influenced. As it's been said, we are to be affecting them and not allowing them to infect us. So, just a short reminder today, in conclusion here. There was a man in the book of Acts, and his name was Joseph. You probably remember him by the nickname that the apostles gave him, Barnabas, son of encouragement. But Acts 11:24 says this of him: "He was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." Could that be said of you and me? And in the end, will God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Again, not perfect, but good. No, God is the only one who is perfectly good. But we all need to ask, does my life reflect the goodness and the holiness of God? And would Paul be able to say of this church, "I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness"? Some of my favorite people in the world are simply my favorite people in the world because they are full of goodness. Like always, you and I, we're going to be tested this week. There's going to be situations that come up where we're going to have the opportunity to do what is good in the eyes of God or not. And so our challenge for this week is for us to ask for God's help in this and to pay attention. You know, is what I am doing or about to do, is it pleasing to God? Is what I am saying or about to say pleasing to God? Am I allowing God to be the standard of goodness, or am I looking for another standard or trying to establish my own standard? And so here's our memory verse for this week. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. There's a little poem called Helping by the Way. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done, leave countless marks for good or ill ere sets this evening's sun. So this the wish I always wish, the prayer I ever pray, let my life help the other lives it touches by the way. We should make it our goal to be a people who are known for their goodness. Not just their kindness, but their goodness. And so if we have not been producing the fruit of the Spirit, we can change. Look, we can start letting God work in us and through us. And so if you're here this morning and we can help you get your life right with God, get back on track. If you'd like the prayers of the congregation, or if you need to be baptized in Christ, we always want to give you that opportunity. Let us help you. If there's something you need to make right or make known, please come forward now as we stand and sing.